Is the energy industry stifling free speech in Wyoming? That's the question University of Wyoming professor Dr. Jeff Lockwood explores in a new book called Behind the Carbon Curtain. He says the industry suppresses critical artwork, research, and school curriculums. Wyoming Public Radio's Cooper McKim reports on the line between censorship and business as usual.
In late 2011, English sculptor Chris Drury visited the University of Wyoming's campus.
I went for about 5 days, I think.
The school had commissioned artwork from him, though he still hadn't decided what to make. As he spoke with locals around Laramie, Drury learned how trees in the Rockies were dying due to warmer winters from climate change. He wanted to draw a connection between the trees' downfall and the state's contribution to global warming through the coal, oil, and gas industries. On UW's campus, Drury began his piece. He dug a shallow 36-foot circle to begin the installation.
So it's this vast whirlpool of logs and coal disappearing down into the earth, which is why it's called carbon sink.
Soon after, a story came out in a Gillette newspaper about carbon sink. Readers were not happy.
And they immediately got on the phone to the coal board and also to the politicians, and all hell broke loose, really.
People wanted it down. Legislators threatened to pull funding from the university. Wyoming Public Radio reported to UW President Tom Buchanan emailed the art museum director asking for the installation to be removed early.
I was totally taken aback. You know, I think normally nobody never takes any notice at all of what I do, and suddenly, you know, there was this great furore about it.
The school removed carbon sink less than a year after it was installed.
They demanded the removal and destruction of that artwork, and the university complied. In what seems to be an explicit and abhorrent act of censorship.
That's Dr. Jeff Lockwood. He recently published the book Behind the Carbon Curtain. In it, he claims Wyoming's energy industry uses its economic power to influence state politics. Coal, oil, gas, and uranium make up around 70% of the state's economy, after all. Students rely on the industry's revenue for low tuition rates, the government for programs like drug recovery clinics, public schools, infrastructure. But Lockwood argues this bankrolling has a dangerous price.
So we've seen scientists fired and defunded. We've seen artists' work destroyed and censored. And we've seen educators informed that they were precluded from teaching some of the fundamental principles of science.
He doesn't just blame energy companies for this, but state legislators, too, for supporting them. He accuses politicians of being too afraid to stand up for themselves or their constituents.
We've been well taken care of. Do we want to bite the hand that feeds us? And you don't want to offend the company that's providing your source of wealth and income.
Lockwood says there's a greater need for controversial discussions, like carbon sink, now more than ever. He claims the fossil fuel industry is in a permanent decline. If it does disappear, he says Wyoming needs a more diversified economy. But for that to happen, there must be a diversity of ideas, too. John Robitaille is vice president at the Petroleum Association of Wyoming. He says Lockwood's claims are overblown and that the energy industry does not suppress free speech. In fact, he says he hears constant criticism.
What we're doing is ultimately playing defense against things that are coming out and making it increasingly difficult to actually produce a product that is needed and necessary in this country.
Robitaille says people like him in the industry want to have open conversations, but their opponents don't give them the chance.
That there are folks out there that just have their opinion and have a closed mind about it, and that makes it extremely difficult to understand the other person's point of view.
Senate Minority Leader and University of Wyoming Professor Chris Rothfuss says he doesn't think the energy industry is widely suppressing free speech, at least not entirely. Politicians tend to vote in favor because that's what their districts support.
Our biases, I guess you would say, and the constituencies that we represent and the interests that we represent, I don't know if I would say that anybody is in anyone else's pocket.
In his book, Lockwood points to energy-related contributions to political campaigns as a serious issue. Rothfuss has been a state senator for 6 years. He says his colleagues really aren't getting that much money, a few thousand dollars at most in campaign contributions, certainly not enough to change a vote on a given issue.
I would like to think that there's nobody in the Wyoming legislature that could ever be bought for $10,000. It's absurd to think that somebody would sell out for that type of money, and I don't think they have.
Rothfuss adds, energy lobbyists aren't particularly intimidating either, no more than their renewable energy counterparts anyway. He cites a call when there was a discussion about a tax on the wind industry.
Well, you can't do this to our industry. This would be bad. We need your support. This, you know, we're going to leave Wyoming if this type of policy moves forward.
In the end, Rothfuss agrees the energy industry does have an outsized influence on the state. It does have well-resourced lobbyists, does make significant campaign contributions.
That's not necessarily quashing free speech.
Lockwood says the energy industry is no better or worse than another dominant one in his state, say agriculture in Iowa or coal in West Virginia. But from his point of view, that influence must be curbed.
And if we tolerate the loss of free speech, if we tolerate censorship, it has nothing but dire consequences for the health and well-being of the United States of America. And that's something that we all have a stake in.
For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Cooper McKim.